presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
VX4 calling control tower. VX4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to VX4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan. Coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan. Fellows and girls, our special guest today is the commander of the 505th Airborne Battalion Combat Team. He was with the advance party of the 82nd Airborne Division at Casablanca, and from there proceeded to Sicily, where the first successful large-scale airborne mission was carried out. He's had many adventures, but suppose I introduce him and let him tell you about them himself. Fellows and girls, I'd like you to meet Lieutenant Colonel Robert H. Weineke.
Thank you, Glenn, for a very fine introduction.
Colonel Weineke, after you landed in Sicily with the 82nd Airborne Division, where did you go?
Well, next came Italy, and then England with the General Staff, where I was made G3 for the 82nd's invasion of Normandy. I assumed the position of Chief of Staff under General Gavin in August of 1944. I remained with General Gavin until my separation from the Army in January of 1946. I returned to the Army in January of this year and was assigned as commander of the 505th Parachute Infantry. As a senior officer of the regiment, I am in charge of the combat team that is conducting Exercise Snowdrop.
Well, say, Colonel, we've talked about Exercise Snowdrop many times on the Hop Harrigan program, and I'd certainly appreciate your telling me and our listeners the inside dope on Snowdrop.
Oh, I'd be glad to, Glenn, and I'm sure the fellows and girls will find it a very interesting story.
Uh-oh, I see it's time for us to join Hop Harrigan. So, Colonel, if you'll stand by, we'll be back again to talk about it in just a few minutes. Gang, be sure you're on hand. Don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Twilight, ushered in by heavy, snow-laden clouds which blanket the entire sky, settles over the small midwestern town of Lakeville. Out at the airport, Hobson Tanks Airport, an icy wind whips across the runways and around the hangars, driving the snow before it in weird, ever-changing patterns. A light gleams dully from the windows of the small administration building, and inside, Gail Nolan paces the floor nervously. From windows to radio transmitter, from radio transmitter back to the windows, staring out at the white curtain of windspun snow, then listening to the crackle and sputter of the shortwave receiver. Suddenly the door opens and a boy bursts into the room, followed by a whirling gust of snow.
Wow, what a night.
Chris, close the door. You're letting all the snow in.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh, it's coming down so quick I can hardly see anything.
Chris, look what you're doing. Snow all over the floor.
I'll mop it up. No word from Pop and Tanks?
Not yet. I've been calling them every 15 minutes, but either they're not in range yet or they can't hear me.
Well, that might be it. Not hearing you, I mean. A storm like this makes reception tough.
Well, how's he going to land?
Runways are probably a foot deep in snow.
Maybe not. I'll take a look.
No, Chris. You have to go into town with Aunt Agatha.
Oh, Gail, who wants to sit in town hall and hear a lot of dumb speeches?
Oh, it won't be so bad. They're having a party. Ice cream, cake, and candy.
Oh, who cares? I want to wait for Hop and Tank. And besides, Aunt Agatha doesn't want to go either. She said so.
But she has to. She's on the committee that arranged the party. And I don't want her driving into town alone in this weather.
Tom. Hey.
Now what?
Well, what about those two fellas in the hangar?
Well, what about them?
Well, maybe I better stay here with you until they go, huh?
Chris, those men are perfectly all right. They're only trying to repair their plane.
Well, maybe I can help them.
Will you stop thinking up excuses and go? Aunt Agatha's waiting.
Gosh, I have to sit and listen to everybody talk. Hey, worse than ever. Maybe the road is blocked.
Chris, it's 6 o'clock. You'll be late.
Okay. I'll see you later.
Oh, I'm sorry, young man. The snow was so blinding I could see you.
Oh, that's okay.
Isn't it snowing in the office?
Yeah, go on in.
Thank you. I'm sorry to trouble you, Miss Nolan.
That's all right. What can I do for you?
Well, my mechanic and I have run into a bit of trouble. You don't have to have a welding outfit here at your airport, do you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, that is a shame. Well, then I fear we must go into town.
Oh?
Yes. You see, we found a weak spar in the engine mounting. It should be welded. Any plumber could do it.
Well, you'll probably find one in Lakeville, all right.
May I phone for a taxi cab?
Oh, why do that? Chris and Aunt Agatha are going into town. They'll take you.
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to trouble them.
No trouble at all. I think I can still get...
But Miss Nolan...
Chris!
Miss Nolan!
Chris! Yeah?
Wait a minute! Daniel Mendes and his mechanic are going into town with you.
Okay!
Miss Nolan, you really shouldn't have...
It's perfectly all right. Go on now. They're waiting for you.
Very well. Thank you so much.
Don't mention it.
I will be able to find a taxi cab in the town to bring you back inside.
Oh, yes.
Good. Thank you again.
Left alone, Gail hesitates momentarily in the center of the room, then, looking at her wristwatch again, turns and walks quickly to the radio transmitter. Holding the microphone close to her lips, she calls anxiously.
Beechcraft NC82043 from Lakeville Radio. Beechcraft NC82043 from Lakeville Radio. Come in, please. Come in, please. Over.
Pausing, she listens for a reply, but hears nothing but the whining crackle of static. Nervously running her hand through her hair, she rises and walks to the window. Outside, there is blinding white fury. As though to shut it out, she turns away and paces the floor. Time passes slowly, and the storm continues to rage over the airport. Until finally, a little before 9, the flickering beams of headlights are reflected through the window. Gail walks to the door, opens it, and through the swirling white curtain sees Senor Mendez.
Is everything all right now, Senor Mendez?
What?
Is everything all right?
Oh, it is you, Miss Nolan. I did not think you would be here so late. Yes, yes, the broken spar is welded. We shall take off soon.
In this storm?
The runway is clear in certain places. I think we can manage to take off successfully.
But, Senor, to fly in this weather...
I have flown in worse. Besides, time is of the essence. I have been delayed much too long already. Go inside now, Miss Nolan, before you catch cold.
Well, all right. But I still think it would be better to wait until morning.
That is out of the question. I must leave tonight. Thank you for your help and your hospitality.
That's perfectly all right.
Adios, Miss Nolan. Hasta la vista.
Goodbye.
Shrugging her shoulders, Gail turns back into the office. Then, checking her watch for the 100th time, seats herself at the radio. A few minutes later, the powerful beams of landing lights flash past the window as Senor Mendez's plane crashes out of the runway. Then suddenly, the radio crackles into life.
Radio from Beechcraft
NC8204.
Help! Help! Radio from Beechcraft NC8204. Come in. Over.
Beechcraft from Lakeville. Go ahead, Hop. Over.
Radio from Beechcraft. Come in, Gail. Come in. Over.
I hear you, Hop. Go ahead. Where are you? Over.
In Lakeville. Come in. Over.
Hop, I hear you. Answer me. Over.
Not picking up your signal. Now the approach for landing. Feeling my way in. Give me all the lights you've got.
No, Hop. Wait. There's a plane taking off. Wait, Hop.
Down to 500 feet. Ready to land. Over.
Hop, please. No.
Dropping the microphone, Gail rushes to the door, flings it open, and with horrified eyes, sees the wing light of the Senor Mendez plane blinking squarely on the runway, and behind and above him, coming in fast, the powerful landing lights of Hop's Beechcraft. Neither pilot sees the other, and a deadly crash seems inevitable. Gang, the climax of today's episode is exciting, so stand by. Fellas and girls, back again with us is Lieutenant Colonel Robert H. Weinecke, commander of the 505th Airborne Battalion Combat Team. Colonel Weinecke, will you tell us about Exercise Snowdrop?
I'll be glad to, Glenn. The Snowdrop exercises will comprise a complete airhead operation in snow-covered country throughout the winter months. During the first phase of the training program, the individual soldier will be instructed in survival methods in both bivouac and combat, and in snow and extremely cold weather.
These tests are being conducted at Pine Camp, New York, aren't they, Colonel?
That's right, Glenn. Snowfall at Pine Camp is heavy during the winter period. Temperatures are low and the humidity is comparatively high. All of this makes for a perfect site for these experiments.
Well, now, Colonel, will you tell us something, please, about the training of these troops?
Well, the men will be taught survival procedure for cold weather, building shelters, foxholes, snow houses, and so forth, and the use and care and maintenance of arms and equipment in extreme cold. And lastly, the men will get 6 hours of airborne training to include loading and lashing of equipment in gliders and transport. And that's the 9th Air Force's Fairchild C-82, you know, the flying boxcar.
Oh, yes. Well, Colonel, with all this training our soldiers are receiving, they should be the best equipped in the world for winter fighting.
Well, that's exactly the aim of the United States Army, Glenn. After this training, the men will be able to fly to their cold regions and live there indefinitely, as the C-82s can drop supplies as they're needed. What we're doing now will aid us invaluably if there's ever another world conflict.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest today, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Weinecke. And, fellas and girls, whether you like the cold climate or the tropics, with a plane you can pick your locale. So get set to take your place in the sky. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Delayed in their return to Lakeville by a raging snowstorm, Hop and Tank finally reached their home airport a little after 9 in the evening. But they were unable to hear Gale's voice over the radio because of heavy static, and so were completely unaware that another plane was preparing to take off just as they were landing.
Oh, brother, this stuff is so thick you can walk on it.
What for the runway?
My eyeballs are practically hanging out. Down at 200 feet, we should be right over the lake now.
You hope.
I'll let the stall in, drag the tail. Snow must be pretty deep down there.
100.
Hey, what's that?
Huh?
Those lights. Navigation lights right on the runway. Hot, there's a plane in front of us.
Good Lord.
Oh, cut it down. He's taking off.
I'll have to sit down behind him. Hang on.
It's going to be close.
We're going in.
Oh, murder if we don't screw up its tail.
Okay, we're down.
Loader, we're working in a spot wire.
That's all right.
We're under control.
We stopped.
Oh, brother, what a homecoming this turned out to be.
Hop taxis the Beechcraft straight to the hangar. And a few minutes later, both boys are greeted with almost hysterical fervor by Gale. Now, later that same evening, we find the boys seated comfortably in front of the fireplace in the living room of Aunt Agatha's home, relating their adventures of the past few weeks away from Lakeville. As the hall clock strikes the quarter hour, Tank stretches and rises.
Quarter of 12. No wonder I'm so pooped. Me for the sack.
Man, I want to hit the hay myself, but I'd like to see Aunt Agatha and Chris.
Hey, what's keeping her anyway?
What does everyone do?
There was a big party at the town hall tonight. Sort of a christening party, you might say.
Somebody have a baby?
No, not a baby, Tank. A bell.
What?
The town hall has a new bell. We sent here from Europe. It arrived last night and was put up in the steeple today. So everyone thought a party was in order.
Well, either the party's going strong or the road's snowed under. Kind of late for Chris to be out going.
Oh, not for this once.
So how is he, Gale? Did he get over his father's death yet?
No, not completely. But he's a lot of fun. Aunt Agatha loves him dearly.
I bet he runs her ragged.
She says he reminds you of you, Hop, when you were his age.
Telephone.
Oh, maybe Aunt Agatha. I'll get it.
If it is, tell her to come on home.
All right. Hello? Who is Aunt Agatha?
Tell her we're home to hurry up.
Wait a minute. What did you say, Aunt Agatha? I know he isn't. No, I haven't heard a word from him. Oh, wait, please,
Aunt Agatha.
Don't get excited. Tell me what's happening.
Hey, what's cooking? Wait.
Oh, no. Well, all right, I'll send them right down. You wait there. Here, take a minute. Bye.
What is it, dear?
Chris, he's gone.
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
He left the party about 3 hours ago. He never came back.
Gail's face is drawn and white with sudden fear as she breaks the startling news to Hop and Tank. What could have happened to the boy? Gang, there's deep mystery and exciting adventure ahead. So don't miss our next action-packed episode. Tune in and spy with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same neutral station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.